And they run through our ass like shit through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
It's ridiculous that they do. That was a huge colony. Well, we didn't miss it. You know, the typical rah, 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 zip, boom, bah, boo.
You don't cuss. You don't drink. So what are your vices?
I have been known to chew a bit of tobacco when I get a little tired or watching film.
Hey, I'm Coach O. I just love my Hummer. I have my Hummer. You need a Hummer? Tell them about it, JoJo.
They've won the biggest championship, and that's the championship of life.
Gas control. Everybody just do your job. You understand that?
Welcome into the latest episode of That SEC Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton, a.k.a. SEC Mike, and joined as always by my cousin Shane, who goes by Big Orange Vols on Twitter. What are you up to, you big Tennessee homer?
Hey, buddy. Nothing, brother. What are you up to?
Oh, I'm wishing I had Urban Meyer's luck, because right as we sat down to record this, the old Ohio State Lionel Urban Meyer, he got suspended for 3 games. What were your thoughts when you heard that?
Well, honestly, I don't know, man. I'm kind of surprised. I really thought he was going to get time served or maybe 1 game. You know, I really think he should have lost his job. That's just me personally. But the fact that his suspension ends before they have to play Penn State, is that a little convenient? Yeah.
That seems convenient to me. Yeah, I don't know. I just, not surprised, I guess, at this point. It seemed open, like an open shut case. He was going to be fired when all this broke.
Yeah.
But obviously, when he released his statement, you know, I kind of could see the tide turning a little bit there. And, you know, we don't have full details of the investigation at this point. I'm sure that'll be coming by tomorrow at the very latest, but not shocked that he stayed on. But I tend to agree with you, knowing what I know. It's hard for me to fathom that they're keeping him on outside of just him being a good football coach. And I think that's the only thing that matters here.
Yeah, you know, but I'm just curious, you know, if she goes to sue the university, I'm just curious if some of these documents come out and maybe shed some light on what really transpired, and if there's not something on down the road that comes away from this. I don't think this is just an open, closed case. I think this is, for now, what they got to do. But I'm telling you, if they start pulling the documents and stuff because of a civil lawsuit, you know, who knows? A lot of this stuff may flare back up on them.
Now, you're talking about Courtney Smith, the alleged victim here, right?
Yeah. Now, is she going to sue the university?
That I don't know, but I know that she's currently in litigation with her ex-husband, Zach Smith, and based on everything that's come out, it looks like she's got a pretty good case there, but...
Yeah.
So that remains to be seen, but, you know, on a lighter side note, another Ohio State coach, while we've turned on Urban Meyer, one Ohio coach has won our hearts. What's this fat bastard's name? Do you know, Shane?
Wiley, is that his name? Bob Wiley?
Yeah, the Cleveland Browns offensive line coach. If you guys haven't
seen Brown Walrus.
Oh, man, he's the highlight of Hard Knocks to this point. His belly jiggles every time he simulates the snap count. We're going to play this quick clip that Shane digged up of Bob Wiley getting his Browns offensive lineman geared up.
Stretch is way overrated. Did you know World War I, World War II, all those guys that fought in that war, right? They did push-ups, jumping jacks, sit-ups, climbed the rope and ran. But none of this fancy shit, okay? Right? And they won 2 World Wars. 2 World Wars by doing jumping jacks, push-ups, and sit-ups. 2 World Wars. You think they were worried when they're running across Normandy about fucking stretching? Are you kidding me?
A few people might have pulled a hammy.
Well, let me see. Give me my rubber band so I can stretch to run across that fucking beach. You got to be kidding me.
All right, Shane, it's pretty easy to see from that clip why we've fallen head over heels for this guy. What was your immediate thoughts the first time you saw this guy?
I've been saying this for 36 years. Stretching is overrated, Mike. I loved it, man. That's the kind of coach I like to hear. You know, I used to go to his camp and Carson Newman College. Coach Turner, offensive line coach. I think he's the head coach now. He used to say every morning we were doing our stretches, you know, we'd get groin stretch. He'd say, Abraham Lincoln once said, a stretched groin is a happy groin, you know. And then the next day it was George Bush once said, you know, so he just – every day what somebody once said. But no, he just he reminded me of that coach so much, and I like to see the lighter side of the NFL.
Yeah, for sure. But enough of that. Let's jump down to the news. We got quite a bit to touch on today, and we're going to open in College Station, go down to Texas A&M. So, Shane, obviously Jimbo Fisher signed his deal recently. That became official. As we noted on the previous episode, it was perfect timing because his program is currently under fire, but he put pen to paper, so he's a little bit cleared. And I acquired his contract, and I kind of studied it, kind of wrote an article on the highlights of it. And so I wanted to just touch on a couple things. Obviously, we know he's getting $7.5 million guaranteed from A&M. He's getting that every year for 10 years, which is unbelievable. But I thought, you know, one thing that was kind of interesting, if he gets fired by A&M and they do not have cause to fire him, he gets all the money left on his deal guaranteed to him, which is pretty nice.
Wow.
And if he decides at any point that he no longer wants to work for Texas A&M, he does not owe them a penny. Now, he doesn't get to keep all the money that he'd have left, but, you know, if someone offers him $80 million today, he can go take it.
Golly, I'd like to have that agent. you've seen a lot of these contracts. Is this usual? I mean, I'm not familiar with the back end of them until they get fired.
Yeah, it's very unusual. The only guy that I know for sure that has a buyout similar to where he doesn't owe anything if he leaves is Nick Saban. And I think, obviously, you know, his agent's probably good enough to where I believe that he has the same agent here as Jimbo. But, you know, Nick Saban's got all the power when they go to negotiations. So I think that's kind of why he's got it. And I'm sure Jimbo kind of demanded the same thing, but it's pretty outstanding for Jimbo to, you know, have all his money guaranteed. Now, if he gets fired for cause, which would be, you know, if there's a huge NCAA violation, or if he gets caught doing drugs, or there's a long list of, you know, things if they shouldn't be doing. If he does them, he does forfeit his money. So it's not like he can just go commit a crime and get $75 million. But
right.
It's interesting how, you know, obviously A&M, we all know the money he's giving them, but they're also basically the power they're giving this guy.
Well, I did see that one part in there talking about if it looked like if they have any vacated wins because of violations that he's got to give that money back. Is that right?
Yeah, that's true because, you know, like most contracts, he has incentives. You know, he gets $1 million if the Aggies win the national championship. He gets $500,000 if they advance to the title game. So things of that nature. But if those games ever get wiped out for whatever reason, he will have to pay that money back.
Yeah, so, yeah, no, good for him, man. So if he gets fired tomorrow, he gets $75 million no matter what.
If he gets fired.
If they just didn't like him, all of a sudden he came in, they said, you know what? We decided Nick Saban's coming over here. You're gone. They're going to pay him $75 million.
Correct. So if he goes 0-12 next year but doesn't do any violations, he gets to keep his money. So I don't know what his motivation is to work hard aside from wanting to win. But why not
so
just
fired up? He's got it made.
All right. That's not the only thing that came out today. Obviously, so we kind of touched on the allegations last episode and. You know, those are still lingering on. I think that's something that A&M's not really released a statement. I think they're still looking in everything. But a number of players have kind of come out and spoken out against the player, that Santino Marichal, whatever his name was. And the players that – it's interesting because the players that have kind of come out and spoken against him are all Kevin Sumlin guys. They're not even Jimbo Fisher guys. So what are your thoughts on former Texas A&M players kind of calling out the guy that's basically calling out Jimbo?
Well, I mean, this is a family, man. You know, your team's a family, and if somebody goes out and then starts bashing what you got, you know, you're going to come back at them. You're going to retaliate. I mean, I would if my family was attacked. So I'm not surprised about that. I think you're going to hear for his story of everything bad going on, and you're going to hear 50 stories about how everything good is going on since they had to change. And don't be surprised if Lil Durk comes out on Sumlin after this.
Yeah, and I think it is a bad look for Sumlin because, you know, obviously the linebacker is following Sumlin there, and you got to think that there's got to be at least some kind of dirt, like you said, on Kevin Sullivan. So he's playing a dangerous game here if he's put him up to it. Now, I don't want to suggest that he did, but if he's at all involved, he's playing a dangerous game that I don't think he wants to play right now.
Yeah, that's Pandora's box. You need to leave that closed because there's a lot of stuff that goes on behind doors at these universities that the public doesn't probably want to hear. And when you start, you know, ratting on each other, then and it gets dirty and ugly, and you lose what the real meaning is, you know. I just think that you're going to hear a lot more of this. You're going to get the statement probably here in the next day or two from the university. And I really think this is going to be old news real fast.
All right, one other thing on A&M. Sam Kahn of ESPN, he's a writer down there, lives in Texas. He covers the Aggies as well as a couple other teams in that area. But he was on Feinbaum's show on Wednesday, and he just made an interesting observation. Now, this is not necessarily – he's not saying the quarterback competition at A&M is over and done with, but he was just asked to give his opinion on who would start. And he said that Kellen Mond, the more athletic, the more gifted runner, as opposed to Nick Starkle, who everyone has kind of penciled in to be the starter at A&M because of his prowess as a thrower. According to Sam Kahn, he – just a guess, but he did say that he believes – from what he's hearing, that Kellen Mond will be the starter for A&M. What are your thoughts on hearing that?
I don't know, man. I mean, I think whoever they roll out is going to be the best quarterback, you know. I think that's one thing he's good at is identifying talent and putting the best product on the field. So if he rolls out week one, it shouldn't be a surprise. You should just take it as he's the best quarterback on that team.
Yeah, and I wonder if they're going to play them both in the first game just because it's Northwestern State. I don't see how they don't just kind of give them both an opportunity. And, you know, I think it's all about getting guys geared up for that week two game at home against Clemson. And obviously, exactly. It doesn't matter how good A&M's offensive line is, they're going to struggle against that Clemson defensive line. So it may suit A&M better just have the better runner back there because he may be running for his life and – you know, it may be a game of just if the pocket breaks down, just run and get what you can. So I'm not totally surprised. I've kind of been mentioning to not count Mond out here, but it was interesting to hear Sam Kahn say that.
Well, and it's hard to do. You know, these scrimmages, you're going against your own team. So you only got one set of ones. And if your quarterback's going against the one defense and he looks bad, but the other guy comes in and he looks great against the twos, It's really hard to do these mock games and try to figure out who's the best talent when you're going against your own team. It's easier when you can just roll it out week one. And good thing they got a weak opponent like this because maybe that's what he wants to see. He wants to see when the lights come on who really does shine as the best quarterback. So that doesn't totally shock me.
All right, the last thing on A&M, I just thought this was really interesting, so I had to get your thoughts on it. But the Texas A&M AD, Scott Woodward, this is the guy that obviously lured Jimbo Fisher to College Station. He revealed that over the offseason, Texas reached out to him about scheduling a home-and-home series, I guess renewing the rivalry. Texas was looking for the 2022-2023. Apparently, they had an opening, and Texas A&M said, sorry, we can't fit you in. And so the possibility of that game coming back has been squashed there. What are your thoughts when you hear that?
It kind of hurts, you know, because I think the fans would love to see the Texas A&M match rebooted. And I think they should be playing every year. You know, there's a lot of pride in that game, a lot of state pride, and builds for in-state recruiting. And I don't know, man. It kind of sucks that they didn't go through with that. Hopefully this is something they revisit. They don't just put it back, but I don't know. I'm hearing a lot of things maybe that they were just not – I mean, what did they have to gain with playing Texas, you know? I think, yeah, it helps recruits, but their plan is to hopefully be competing for national championships in 10 years. And, you know, you put a team like Texas in there, that's just somebody that can knock you off that track.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't get the argument of, you know, what they have to gain because this is the number one rivalry in Texas. Texas A&M, they haven't played since 2011. This is a game that just needs to be played every year. There's no excuse for it not to be played. And anytime I hear, you know, we couldn't fit you in, that to me is bullshit. I mean, yeah. A&M, what they've got scheduled those years, they do have a series against Miami. You could easily buy that. I shouldn't say easily, but you can buy that out. They just paid $75 million for a coach, $500 million for upgrades to their stadium. They got money. And yeah. If you want to look past the Miami game, because maybe you don't want to piss off the Hurricanes, they got games against New Mexico and Appalachian State during that time. I mean, those ones you can easily buy out. And I understand it would make your schedule harder, but, you know, just think of your fans, man. And, you know, everyone that is a true Aggie wants to see that game played. Everyone that's a true Longhorn wants to play that game. And I have no affiliation to either one of those schools. And I want to see it played. You know, so everyone who loves college football, I think they want to see this game. So it just pisses me off every time I hear that it was a possibility, but it's not going to happen for the foreseeable future, you know?
Well, there's a lot of teams that are bending to make these rivalries work, you know? Mm-hmm. Florida and Florida State, I'm sure there's times that Florida doesn't want to play Florida State and vice versa. And Tennessee, Alabama, USC, Notre Dame, you know, these are games that are difficult to schedule, but they still do it. And it makes for better football. It's a product that people want to watch. And if the fans want a Texas A&M matchup, then make it happen.
Yeah, I'm fired up now. So let's go to Tennessee to another man that's fired up. It's Dana Holgorsen, man. He made some interesting comments today. We're going to play this little clip of old Holgorsen. I think he skipped the buffet. He was not allowed to eat before making this press conference. He was a little hangry, I guess. But we're going to play this clip from Dana Holgorsen from, I think there's a recent press conference there, the West Virginia head coach.
I'll get this out of the way. I'm not happy about the fact that we get less time to prepare than Tennessee does. They start school 6 days later, five or 6 days later. I think this is a flaw in how the NCAA does their preseason practices. They did move it to 25 practices as opposed to 29 practices. We did get some morning walkthroughs with balls, which that was good. It's still, with that said, they still get about five more days of unlimited time, which if you add that up, that's probably around an extra week of work. You know, once we got into the 20-hour rule, they got an extra week of work.
All right, Shane, Holgorsen's not happy. He's not getting his preparation time. What were your thoughts when you heard that?
Oh, man, they're serving excuses up on that buffet line, ain't they? They're worried. You know what happened? He got a little peek of Trey Smith's video the other day, and now he's a little worried, and he's already starting the excuse train. So, I don't know, man. I'm excited about it. You know, I haven't heard Pruitt come out and act like he's afraid to play anybody. So the fact that West Virginia is, you know, that just fuels the fire, brother.
Yeah, and I saw a lot of Tennessee fans kind of poking fun at him for, you know, basically having this guy that a lot of people are saying the number one quarterback in the nation, a Heisman candidate. He's got the better team on paper. Well, it depends on how you look at it, but most people assume the better team. And, you know, they're ranked in the top 25. Like, how many advantages do you need, you know? So,
exactly.
I don't know. And West Virginia also got the added benefit of bowl practices that Tennessee didn't get because Tennessee didn't go to a bowl game. So,
yeah, exactly.
I don't know. I'm not buying this.
And it's not like they got to come to Neyland either, you know. This is a neutral site game. So, you know, I don't know. I think they've got a lot of advantages built in there. And, you know, to go ahead and start making excuses at the beginning of his press, that's the first thing he started with, you know. So he must have had a frustrating practice or something, and he's not liking what he's seeing on the field.
All right, another Tennessee news, Shane. Jeremy Pruitt met with the media on Wednesday, and good news for Tennessee fans. He said Trey Smith officially clear for contact, and he also revealed that Juwan Jennings is cleared for contact. He's been kind of getting hit and taking everything on the rest of the receivers. What's your immediate thought to hearing the Trey Smith and Juwan Jennings both cleared to play?
Oh, man, my dogs are back. I love it, dude. I mean, say what you want, but those two guys right there is what's going to be leading this offense, you know. Juwan's a very vocal wide receiver, and he's got something to prove, man. It's been a couple, you know, he didn't get to play much last year. I think he went out Georgia Tech first game. So, it's been a while, and I'm glad that he's making contact now, because last thing you wanted was to wait all the way to West Virginia for him to get hit for the first time. So I'm excited. We've done pretty good on the health front, knock on wood. And like I said, we got our boys back.
Yeah, and obviously I've been pretty down on Tennessee. Clearly you're very high on them, but if Tennessee is going to make any noise this year, I think the key is going to be having their guys healthy, because they just haven't had that in recent years.
Yeah.
It looks like, for the most part, they're getting guys right at the, you know, healthy at the right time. Seems like this coaching staff, this training staff, the strength staff, they know what they're doing when it comes to all that stuff. So, you know, if these guys are coming around right before game week, I mean, this is what Tennessee needs. This is a recipe for an upset here. So, it's clearly trending in the right direction for Tennessee.
And they got players missing practice because of this foot mouth disease, and they've got DBs going down. I mean, they're trending in the wrong direction. Now, they still got a great team. They still got a great quarterback. They got great wide receivers. I think Dana's a hell of a coach, you know. So I don't want to sell them too short. It's gonna be a tough game, but I don't know, man. The shit's lining up for us. So and there's that buzz, a Tennessee buzz. You know, it's our year, kind of going around. So they're gonna be excited. The team's gonna travel well. So we should have a home field advantage over there in Charlotte.
Okay, Shane, last thing. This is not really related to Tennessee, but I thought it was kind of related, so I kind of tweeted out with a little joke about Jay Mariotti being a member of Vol Twitter here. But for anybody that doesn't remember old Jay Mariotti, he was a guy on ESPN. I think he was on, like, Pardon the Interruption and all those sports reporters.
Yeah.
I think he got banned from ESPN for some shenanigans, but he came out against Dan Wolken for – Wolken kind of called out Ohio State's president for their, you know, how they're kind of bending over to Urban Meyer. And here was Jay Mariotti's response, which was pretty harsh. Call him bullshit on this guy. He cuts deals with agents for stories. He schmoozes sources in exchange for favorable coverage. And now he's playing the moralist on a case before due process has occurred. What an asshole. Where are his bosses? So, again, that's Jay Mariotti throwing Wolken under the bus. What are your thoughts on that?
Wolken's an asshole, so I hope that he keeps getting thrown under the bus. And I think he's blocked just about every Tennessee fan. So I'm going to go out and follow this other cat on Twitter. You know, I appreciate his bold take.
Yeah, I didn't realize how many people on Vol Twitter Wolken had blocked, because I did retweet. He was the one that actually wrote the A&M USA Today story. So I retweeted that, and just about everybody in my mentions said, hey, I can't read it. That guy's got me blocked. So next time, I guess I'll just have to take a screenshot or something. But
you'll have to, because every time you see it, because it's a game for Vol Twitter. Every time they get blocked by Dan, you're supposed to take a screenshot of it and put it on Twitter so everybody can see that you're part of the club. So, it's not hard to get on. You know, he gets butthurt over everything you say to him. So, I'm surprised he didn't. You know, I sent that one video out, and for some reason he likes to keep me on his timeline. So, we'll see. He'll probably block me before the year's up.
All right, that's a good goal to have this season. Okay, last thing on Tennessee, just real quick. They got a commit from an in-state offensive lineman named Melvin McBride. And, you know, we don't really touch a whole lot on recruiting. I don't really want to get into that. But I do want to note the fact that Tennessee's got four offensive line commits, and their average height is 6'4", and their average weight is 303 pounds.
Golly.
I mean, that's clearly the way Tennessee needs to rebuild this thing through the trenches. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, that's a grown-ass man right there.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Shane, not to discredit the guys that Butch Jones brought in on the offensive line, because from what I know, they're all outstanding individuals, and you know, they were great prospects coming in. But outside of probably Trey Smith, I don't think any of them fit the profile of what Jeremy Pruitt and his offense wants to do now. You know, he wants big physical maulers that are run graders. He doesn't want the finesse guys that are going to play more in space.
Well, exactly. I mean, hell, look at who's the best in the SEC right now. It's Georgia and it's Alabama. And they don't have finesse linemen. They have big-ass linemen, you know. So he wants to compete. He wants to be the top. And with the way he's going to run his offense, that's what he's got to have, is them big boys. And he's loading them up.
All right, Shane, let's jump down to Gainesville. We got a quick update from Florida. I just thought this was pretty interesting. Luke Del Rio, man, the guy that keeps just making waves, he keeps making news. He's got an interesting comment here for the former coach, Jim McElwain. He really throws this guy under the bus pretty much.
Yeah, he does.
And this was his coach. You know, he kind of, for those that have not been following Luke Del Rio, I recommend following him. He's been doing these Periscope videos. I don't know if he does them every day, but he does them pretty regularly. And he's given good intel on what's going on there in Florida. But his latest one, he told a story about Jim McElwain. And I don't know if anyone may have missed it, but Dan Mullen gave two walk-ons scholarships recently. I believe it was Tuesday evening. Two special teams players gave him scholarships. And Luke Del Rio told the story that Jim McElwain actually gave one of those guys a scholarship about a year and a half ago during, you know, leading up to a bowl game. And then that guy got a letter in the summer saying, hey, you're no longer on scholarship. So
golly.
Jim McElwain didn't even have the balls to tell him. He just kind of sent him the letter and let that take care of it. And according to Luke Del Rio, that was not the only guy he did that to. Apparently, this is a tactic that Jim McElwain would do quite often. And essentially, he said that none of these guys got in trouble. None of them broke rules. And they didn't have their scholarship revoked because of that. He just basically, Florida needed the scholarships for recruiting purposes. So they would just yank them away.
Yeah, that's, I hate that. I really do, because, you know, these guys are there, you know, they're paying to be there, these walk-ons, you know, this is, you know, when the school's over, they got to pay these loans back, and to give a kid a scholarship is probably like one of the biggest things that's ever happened in his life. And then the way, and now this has happened, I don't want to make it sound like Mac's the only one that's ever done this. I think it's stupid. I think if you get a scholarship, you earned that scholarship. That should never get taken away, in my opinion, you know. But I have heard some on the back end lose scholarships to free up for some recruits. I don't like that method. But the thing that Mac did is he didn't even tell his players. You know, some of these guys that he yanked the scholarship from, you know, the one you were talking about, he received a letter in the mail, and it was a bill, you know, showing how much he's going to owe for school. You know, the coaches never called him. And another one found out via Twitter, you know. I mean, come on. If you're going to do something and rock this kid's world, somebody that's in that locker room, you know, that has friends that, you know, they lose respect for the coaches and the coaching staff, and maybe that's part of the reasons why he's no longer the coach there, you know.
Yeah, and, you know, another way to think of it, a lot of these walk-ons have to do jobs, so they have to save their money for tuition and books and what have you, so imagine being told you're going to be on scholarship. I think you have to walk away from that job. You stop saving money, and then you find out a couple months later, hey, you got your tuition bill here. That's just a fucked up situation to put anyone in.
Yeah, no, I agree, man. That's just not right. And I wish that the NCAA would step in, and if you offer a kid a scholarship, that's his scholarship. You know, you can't take it away from him.
All right, Shane, that's all we got on the Gators, but let's jump down to Fayetteville, because Chad Morris had a kind of an interesting comment in his latest press conference. So he kind of came out heated. He was not happy with the Razorbacks and their effort on the practice field. So here's a clip from Chad Morris explaining the lack of effort, and he was looking for his quarterbacks to kind of step up and kind of get his team going, and neither one did. So he sounded kind of disappointed on that, so we're going to play this quick clip.
Well, all right. Well, I thought we came out today very lethargic. I thought that was the energy level was not even close to where it needed to be. The energy level wasn't near what it should be. Wasn't to our standard. So picked up a little bit toward the end of practice, but not nothing like it needs to be. So we'll challenge them, and we'll see how we come out tomorrow. Quarterback wise, each one can continues to bring different things, good and bad, and you know, consistency is the key we're looking for right here. But you know, we're no further really ahead right now than we were Saturday. I mean, I thought today's practice, I was really hoping that one of them would help pick the energy level up and really kind of take over a little bit more. But that didn't happen like I wanted it to. But that's okay. It's a great teaching moment.
All right, Shane, you know, I think this was a takeaway that a lot of people missed, but in my mind, this is Chad Morris kind of saying that Ty Story, Cole Kelly, each of them missed an opportunity to you know, step up and show some leadership and potentially seize this starting job. Do you agree with me when I say that?
Yeah, no, I mean, these kids, one of them had a shot to take the reins and didn't take advantage of it. And, you know, Morris, he's been pretty fiery the whole offseason, you know, pretty excited, you know, about the way things are moving. This is the first time I've ever seen him come out and, you know, be disappointed. So who they got week one?
Arkansas plays Eastern Illinois at home.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So they're going to go up there. So this thing's bleeding into the season one, but they really got to have it figured out at the end of this game, because once conference play starts, you don't want quarterbacks controversy. You know, you want to have the starting guy so the team can build around him.
Yeah. And their first SEC game is at Auburn week four. So if you do not have your guy there, you're basically fucked if you're Arkansas.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's huge, because every quarterback's different. Every, you know, with their wide receivers, the running backs, even the offensive line, you know. And if you have two, it changes the flow of the game, you know. So these guys got to build some continuity, especially by week four when they're going to Auburn, because the last thing you want is a team guessing who's going to be their quarterback.
All right, Shane, let's jump to Athens, where Kirby Smart, you know, he didn't reveal who the starting quarterback would be, even though it seems like most people, you know, realize that Jake Fromm is going to keep that job from Justin Fields. But he did have some comments on the quarterback competition, so I'm going to play this quick clip from Kirby, and then we'll discuss it.
We run the same offense with both those guys right now, so it's not like they're seeing that. Can Justin take off running better? Can he run some gun-run stuff? Yeah, he certainly can. But I don't think our two defenses are seeing something different, really. We scramble. We practice scrambles. So Jake Fromm scrambles in practice, and so does Justin, because a lot of your plays end up being scrambles. So, no, I don't think there's a lot of difference from what our defense sees from those two.
Coach, have you decided on a starter? Will you announce a starting quarterback, or is that something like that?
I really hadn't even thought about it, to be honest with you. I mean, we let those two guys compete out. I mean, Jake's going with the ones almost the whole time. So we'll handle this as it goes. It's not like it's a predetermined announcement on this date. It's not really the plans. We don't look at it that way. We look at it as those two guys will compete and they'll continue to compete.
All right, Chase. Kirby's, he's high on both his guys, saying they can kind of basically do the same things. Are you buying that talk?
I don't know, man. I mean, they're not the same guy. You know, Fromm's proven, you know, he got him to the playoff. He got him to the national championship. But Fields adds something with his legs. He's acting like the offense ain't going to change if Fields is on the field, but it will, you know, because he can extend plays with his legs. I don't know, man. I'm kind of interested. You know, if they struggle week two, don't be surprised if you see a quarterback change.
Well, I think that a lot of this is kind of smoke and mirrors, and we've kind of talked about South Carolina not trying to reveal too much. I think Georgia, the same thing. They don't want to reveal too much before they hit the road to South Carolina week two. So I could see a lot of traditional offense kind of make it seem like Justin Fields is just trying to be Jake Fromm Jr. And then if they get in a tight spot there in Columbia, I could see them busting out Justin Fields for maybe some kind of, I don't want to say wildcat, because I think he's a lot better quarterback than that, but just giving him a lot of different, you know, maybe rollouts and play action on the run and just things that South Carolina is not going to be prepared to handle. I think this is just a little bit cat and mouse game by Kirby Smart.
Yeah, I do too. And I think Fromm will start that South Carolina game, but I think Fields will be in the game before the half. So he may not be taking, you know, maybe an 80-20 or something like that. But I tell you, if Fields gets out there, builds up momentum, and this, you know, they start doing something, don't be surprised if he just plays the hot hand and that's how Fields takes over.
Yeah, I think this is just going to be one of the more interesting stories all year long, and I'm just fascinated to see how it plays out.
For sure. I mean, obviously, out of all the quarterback competitions, these two are legit. They can start on any team. So I don't feel like he's going to be uncomfortable with anybody he puts out there.
All right, Shane, let's jump to Starkville real quick, where we've actually got kind of a sad, depressing story here. But backup offensive lineman Michael Story, he's been suspended indefinitely, and he's been arrested for misdemeanor animal cruelty. And apparently he's been locking up a damn dog for days on end in bathrooms and whatnot. And this is a Great Dane dog, so a dog that like needs some space. So
Oh, man.
What are your initial thoughts when you hear that?
Golly. I mean, this day and age, it's 2018, man. They're taking the damn bars off the animal crackers. That's how much people care about animals these days. You got a Great Dane locked in the bathroom? I mean, golly. If a pet's a responsibility, and that's just not responsible at all, man. You know, so PETA will be on that ass before you know it.
Yeah, I can't imagine this guy's very popular in Starkville right now if all these allegations are true, but
mascot's a dog. I mean,
right. I mean, if you don't love your dog, there's something wrong with you, you know?
Exactly. And there's places that people do care for animals, you know? It's not like he couldn't find him a home, you know? Football's, you know, cranking up. If he couldn't do that, he needs to get that dog to a place that, you know, somebody would care for it.
You know, it kind of reminds me, you ever ride around with someone and then, like, if you see, like, a homeless person on the side of the road, like, you feel kind of bad, but you're like, man, that guy needs to get a job. But if you see him with a dog, you're like, damn, that dog is homeless.
It's true, man. It is. I've seen a lot of sad dogs out there. I've seen a lot of sad homeless people, and I'm not saying anything about homeless people, but I did see one the other day. He was at the Walmart, and he had a sign. And, you know, it says, you know, I'm homeless. Give me some money. But right across the street, like literally like 10 feet away, the Little Caesar guy's out there with his sign flipping it around, making $9 an hour. I'm just saying, you've kind of got a resume built already. You know, free pizza. I mean, I didn't want to tell him what to do, but, you know, there's worse places to flip your sign, you know.
All right, Shane, that's all I got for this episode, unless you've got anything else you want to close with.
No, I did notice that we didn't get any written reviews on iTunes, but we did get a couple of ghost stars. So I appreciate those guys taking the time to give us a 5-star heart rating. It really does mean a lot to us, and we appreciate the listeners. And don't hesitate, you know, if you thinking about a question you'd like for us to talk about, you know, shoot us a tweet either at SEC Mike or Big Orange Falls, and we'll be happy to throw them on the air here.
Yeah, you bet. So thanks again, Shane. Thanks for joining me today. Thanks for everyone out there listening, and we'll catch you on the next one.
All right. See you, buddy. Go Vols.
Welcome into the latest episode of That SEC Pod. Oh, fuck. Sorry. I had like a bug fly in my mouth or something.
Take two. You're all right? You going to survive?
I'm good.